Welcome and thank you for visiting us for today's message by Dr. R.L. Davis. For more information regarding our ministry, please stay tuned until after the following message.
And I hope we have ear to hear what we're going to get from the Word of God today in somewhat of a revelation to me, and I've read it many times. As you go on to Judges chapter 3, we'll start there. But I'm looking at it from a different angle right now, and what I want to speak to us this morning about, a little bit about, is the kingdom. Kingdom understanding is what I want to talk about this morning. Of course, this is an endless subject because Jesus came and established his kingdom. But from the very beginning, God wanted to establish his kingdom upon the earth and have man run the earth for him. Father, we thank you for your word today as we look into it. Open our hearts, Father. Help us to understand by revelation in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Praise the Lord. Judges 3:22. I don't want to go into this story about this man being stabbed with a knife, but I want us to point out one thing here, and this is another sermon. And the haft also went in after the blade, and the fat closed up upon the blade, so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. Everybody say, the dirt came out. That's significant. Well, how is that significant? Well, we're going to get into it. The dirt came out. You're dirt, and I'm dirt, and who likes dirt? Now, I want to go over to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. And I want us to look at the scripture again, and of course, Matthew 6:10. This is when Jesus, the Son of God, was on the earth, and the quote is verbatim. The Lord said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, dirt, as it is in heaven." Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's God's plan. That's God's will from the very beginning. It's for his kingdom to be set up on the earth and for mankind to rule his kingdom for him on the earth. How many knows the Father God's in heaven? He created all that is for man. For one reason, to rule for him. So my question is this morning, as we're going to get into this now, and it's just now 11 o'clock, we've got plenty of time, you'll be out before the Baptist, don't worry about it. My question is very simple. How will God's will be done when God is in heaven? So the answer is, it was God's purpose for the unseen realm to become in the seen realm. God's dimension is invisible to our naked eyes, so therefore it's unseen. The only way that God's kingdom can be manifest on the earth that is seen is for the unseen to become seen and do his will on the scene. The problem is, God's a spirit being, the Bible tells us, and he doesn't really have a flesh and blood, bone body like we do. One of God's rules in the kingdom was that a person has to have a flesh and blood and bone body to be a legal citizen on this earth to rule in his place. God just cannot come down here and do whatever he wants because he gave this assignment to his creation, man. Now, are you going to stick with me today? Are you going to stick with me today?
Amen.
You're a spirit.
Amen.
You're a spirit.
Yes.
You have a soul and you live in a body. The body is not the real you. The real you is spirit. The body didn't come from God. The body came from the earth. The spirit part, well, let me just go forward. And I want you to hang with me, because if you don't understand this, you won't understand who you are in Christ. So, God's will must be done on the earth, and he will see to it that it is done. Now, we're in the process of that. We're not into the total picture yet, but we're heading that way. Now, I want to go back to the great seed book, the book of Genesis. And I would suggest this is the first book you'd read besides St. John if you're wanting to study the scripture with a little more understanding than just hitting and missing. See? So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, I want to start there. Before I read verse 3, I want us to all understand it. Everybody say, I want to understand this. Before God does anything, he speaks. He thinks, he speaks, and then it comes to pass. Are you with me? Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and what? Boom, there was light. Everything God says comes to pass. All right, now drop down to verse 6. And God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. What happened? Boom. What God said happened. All right. Then we drop down to verse 9. And God said, everybody say, God said.
God said.
All right, thank you. Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. What happened? Exactly what God said. The dry land came forth. Earth, dirt, dust came forth because God said. Can I get an amen? Then we drop down to verse 11. Now here's where the revelation begins to kick in, if we have ear to hear this morning. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass. So now get this. The revelation begins to unfold as God is beginning to speak to dirt. Now think about it. Let the earth, who's he talking to? Dirt, earth, bring forth grass. The herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed in itself upon the earth, and it was so. So God spoke to the earth, and it was so. Then we drop down to verse 12, and the earth brought forth grass. Well, of course, why? Because God said. The point is, God spoke to the earth. Well, Jesus spoke to a fig tree. He was God. But in the original recreation 6,000 years ago, God spoke to the earth. Brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Amen. All right, now drop down to verse 14 of that same chapter. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs, seasons, and days, and years. So what happened? You see the light? You see the sun out here? spring, summer, fall, winter, day, night. What happened? God said, and it was so. You got that in your mind now. How many has got it? It's simple. All right. We drop down to verse 24, same chapter. Oh boy, here it comes now. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creature after his kind. To repeat, God is speaking to the earth. Bring forth animals. Bring forth the living creature after his kind. Cattle, creeping things, beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. God spoke to the earth to bring forth all the animals, birds, everything else made from the earth, from his spoken word, using the earth to help in the process of creation, and it was so. No such thing as evolution. So God speaks, and whatever he wants becomes. God speaks, and whatever he wants becomes. How many believes it?
Yes,
how many believes it?
Amen.
How many believes it over there? What about back there? Do you believe it? Let me hear an amen from everybody.
Amen.
God speaks, and whatever he desires comes to pass.
Yes.
Because he's God. He's the creator and sustainer of all that is or ever will be. All right? I think we've got that so far. But we go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 19. Now keep in mind that God spoke to the dirt and the dirt brought forth the animals. He spoke, brought them into existence, but he used the dirt for the physical part. Do you understand that? How many understands that? All right. But then we go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9. Now the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. How do you do that? Well, the same way he always does, by speaking, even though the Bible doesn't really say that right there. But that's the way that God does it. That's the way he always functions. Then we drop down to verse 19 of chapter 2. Oh, thank you, Lord. And out of the ground, there's to prove what I just said. Now the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. How did he do it? Speaking to the dirt and forming it with his hands, at least as far as we can understand how God did it. And he brought every beast of the field into existence, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. So you can see where God is wanting Adam to have the dominion over all of creation by using authority to give names to the animals that God spoke into existence by his word. All right. So then to recap, God speaks to the earth or the dirt, and the plants and animal kingdom becomes. The plants and animal kingdom becomes. Then we look at Genesis 3:19. Oh, glory to God. Now, this is the Lord talking to Adam and really the entire human race. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. Oh. How did God do that? He spoke to the earth and brought forth a lifeless body. But there was a problem. How can a lifeless corpse rule? Well, God has to do something else. But the kicker is this: God is speaking to the earth every single time, and whatever he desires becomes. You say, well, I know this. No, you don't. We haven't got there yet. That's why I'm giving it. So, God spoke. Adam came into physical existence from the earth. Are you with me? The reason is God wanted man to rule the earth in his place, as I previously said a while ago. But then when we look at the revelation in chapter 1 of that same book, of course, in kingdom understanding. Oh. So God is speaking to the earth, and everything that he desires becomes. Adam's physical body came into existence because God spoke to the earth, the dust, the dirt, and Adam became. And so all through the book of Genesis, we see that God is speaking and things are happening, but he's speaking to the earth and bringing everything into existence that is. Now there comes a time that God's not going to speak to the earth, but he's going to speak to himself. Now I want you to look at chapter 1, verse 26. And God said... Who's he speaking to? Let us make man. So now God is not speaking to the earth. He's speaking to himself, or more specifically, among the Godhead. And he says, let us make man in our own image. And... let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. How did God create man in his own image? He spoke to himself. The spirit was created because God desired for Adam to be spirit. Oh, you're not getting this. You just admitted to me you're a spirit. Man is spirit, soul, and body. But what I'm saying the Bible teaches us is that God created Adam the spirit, and then it had to be infused into the corpse that was made from the earth by God's spoken word also. So God spoke to the earth and made Adam's body, but God spoke to himself and made Adam's spirit. Hallelujah! Wake up, everybody. You're more than just an animal that's going to die and cease to exist. That's the reason even the sinners and the ungodly respond to the light of the gospel. Their spirit. When you realize who we are intended to be, we have the authority to exercise. Amen. So God created man his image. Was that physical? It was the mannequin physical, and more specifically the spiritual. The spirit being Adam. Yes. And so the only way for the earthly Adam to become alive is for God to breathe the spirit, Adam, into the nostrils of the mannequin, and the mannequin stood up and became a living soul. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, God placed the spirit, Adam, into what I call a dirt suit. That's all we are in the natural, is dirt. If you don't believe me, quit taking your vitamins and minerals that come from the dirt, and you're going to get sick. For example, the plant kingdom. If we plant, how many planted tomatoes this year? Anybody? If you take that tomato plant out of the earth from what it came from, it'll die. If you take a fish that God created from the dirt, not the water, it was created to swim in the dirt, swim in the water because it came from dirt, got gills. You know, we don't have gills, we'll drown. They don't drown. But you take that fish out of his original environment, the water, and it will die. Likewise, you separate your spirit from God, and you're dead. Hello, somebody. Because I'm not saying that Adam was God, no, but I'm saying Adam was of God. He was created by God Himself. Spirit. We're more than the physical. Now go back to Genesis 2:7. To again back up what I just said. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. In view of the fact that God spoke to himself to create the spirit Adam and didn't speak to the dirt, there had to be a transfusion of Adam into the dirt. Because God didn't speak to the dirt when he created Adam, he spoke to himself. Therefore, Adam came from God. Likewise, every one of you, because you are from the loins of Adam, your original origin was from God. But when Adam sinned, as you all know the story, he spiritually was separated from God. Now the flesh took over. And the soulish man demented, and the spirit man diminished away, and he became a natural brute beast. We see that when Cain killed Abel. I mean, all through time, there's been evil because of the separation from God. And so God says, I'm going to fix it. Hallelujah. And so, we're spirit beings. We have a soul. We can think. We can make decisions. We have emotions. We have a will. But it must conform to the spirit man. A person that's not born in the Spirit of God or born from above cannot please God because they're in the flesh. Dirt. That's why Jesus said in St. John chapter 3, that which is flesh is flesh. That which is dirt is dirt. That which returns to dust is dust. But that which is spirit is spirit. Praise God. Now, and so because in the beginning when God created Adam, he wanted him to take charge and rule everything that God created by a spoken word from the earth. But Adam sold the farm. The devil moved in and took control. And I dare say that devil still has control in the earth. Not total control, but control. However, if a person's spirit man has been resurrected through the new birth by receiving Jesus as Savior and Lord, understanding what He did for us on the cross and who He is, the great Savior, by receiving Him and receiving the infusion of the Holy Spirit, into our dead, dormant spirit. It becomes alive, resurrected to walk in newness of life, and our position has been restored like Adam. Amen. Sons of God. Now we're heading back to paradise again, and one day this dirt suit will be glorified, and then we'll know what the kingdom of God really is all about. So then, because Adam sinned, all the human race was separated from God. How many understands that? Because God is spirit. He's a spirit being. Let's look at John 4:24. It says God's a spirit. There they worship Him. Must worship in spirit and in truth. I think that's what it says. But I like to explain this. God is more than some invisible floating cloud around here somewhere. Some mystical, universal consciousness. No, God is a spirit being. That's what I teach. He's a spirit being. He created Adam in His image, that's spiritual and physical. The only way we can know our Creator God is in the Spirit. We must worship Him in the Spirit and in truth, in your spirit. You're a spirit being. Sinners cannot worship God because their spirit is dead, separated from God. When the new birth takes place, you are reunited with your Creator God. Part two, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, now you're beginning to understand that you are a spirit. When God anoints me to preach and work in the gifts and things, it isn't the flesh, it's the spirit man. The spirit man is what God uses. The temple is just the physical body is just the temple. The vocal cords is the dirt part, but God speaks through dirt. That's His way. God cannot come down here and control anything. There's only one way He can do it, is through His creation that's been recreated in Christ. If we have been recreated in Christ, then we are God's representatives. We speak for God, and it must be so. That is, if you're correct scripturally. So what is God's will on the earth? Well, let's think about what it is in heaven. When are we, as God's people, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, going to begin to speak like the speaking spirit that we were recreated to be? I bind that. I loose that. I take authority over this and that. Take dominion. God's not going to do it. You and I are the ones that do it. God doesn't come down here and take authority over the devil and demons. You and I do, or He's going to run loose and kill everybody. Say amen, somebody. You're more than flesh. You are so important to God that Satan wants to kill you. Come on. Because if you get connected with the kingdom understanding and who we are in Christ Jesus, we will have good success on this earth because we are in the earth suit. That's the only way to do it. And God said, I'm going to come to fix things and restore this, which He did through Christ Jesus. So God Himself took on a dirt suit to be legal and speak. How did Jesus do it? He spoke. Amen. Oh, there's power in the words of a speaking spirit. Can I get an amen? Amen. Glory to God. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, He's coming upon your spirit for one reason. You've been washed in the blood. You're not so good. We're just dirt, everybody. But on the other hand, we're created in the image of God, restored to fellowship with our Father God. He's for us. He's not against us. Praise God. Jesus stands at the right hand of the Father God to intercede for us that have been restored to the original way. Spirit dominated. Child of God, if you let your flesh dominate you through ignorance, you're ignorant. See, people don't know they're ignorant because they're ignorant. I learned that a long time ago. People don't know they're deceived because they're deceived. That's what deception is. You don't even know it. But if you know that God, the devil has deceived you, and you don't change your thinking about it and repent and take authority over the devil that's lording over you, then how can God use you? He cannot. So you've got to rise to the occasion. Amen. That's the challenge. So how can God rule now? Let me go to John chapter 3 quickly this morning. And these are scriptures everybody knows, but do we really? In verse 5 of St. John 3 says, "Verily I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now the next verse says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." I quoted that a while ago. But I want to emphasize this. That which comes from the dirt is the dirt. And tonight, I'm going to speak on a subject nobody wants to hear, but everyone needs to hear, and that is dying. Your flesh and my flesh, if the rapture does not come, we're going to go back to the dust because God said. No one escapes. You know, that kind of levels the playing field here, doesn't it? And you need to hear it tonight. You need to hear it. That which is born of the dirt is dirt. Flesh is flesh. Where'd your flesh come from? Dirt. Well, I don't think I believe that. You better go back and read Genesis again, everybody. From the dust of the earth, God formed Adam's body, not his spirit. His spirit was created when God spoke to himself. Therefore, Adam's spirit came from God. That's what I'm saying. That's the reason we're eternal. God is eternal. You're never going to die. Every one of you is going to live somewhere. If you have been restored to fellowship through the cross, you're going to live in heaven and glorious eternity. But if your spirit has not been recreated, you're going to live forever in a burning hell. That's your choice. And I dare say some people deserve to go to hell. But on the other hand, so did I. I find it strange when a little woman is taking the act of adultery and the religious crowd, oh, they're good at condemning. Oh, man. Jesus, she's broken the law of Moses. The law of Moses says she needs to be stoned. What do you say? Now, here we got one person that had no sin that could have threw the first stone because he would have been, he was innocent, no sin. And yet he said, well, you without sin, you throw the first stone. Oh, boy. They were all convicted. Because who hasn't sinned? And they all left. One by one. Jesus said, woman, where's your accusers now? I don't have any. Go and sin no more. I don't condemn you. That's God. That's why Jesus came, for the down and outers, for people that nobody wanted, cast ways. Satan takes them almost to the point of death, but Jesus reaches down and says, hey, come to me. I'll restore you. There's no other way. He's the only way to be restored. But thank God, he is the way to be restored. And so verse 7 now says, "Marvel not, I said to you, you must be born again." So the dormant spirit that's in the sinners today must be born again in order to enter into the kingdom of God. As simple as I can make it. The kingdom of heaven's in heaven. The kingdom of God's on the earth. The kingdom of God's on the earth right now. It's in the spirit form. And those that are in the spiritual kingdom right now, through the new birth, they will inherit the literal kingdom that's fast approaching. At least 7 years from today, Christ will set up his literal kingdom on this earth, and those that will rule in a glorified state will be those that are born from above, reunited with the Father God through Christ Jesus, born of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, and ready to take dominion. In that day, everybody, it'll be a complete dominion, not partial like we are right now. Cheer up, it's going to get better. Turn to somebody and say, it's going to get better. Hallelujah. So if you take the spirit man and separate him from the Creator God, that spirit dies. Just like the fish dies out of water. We were created to live in fellowship with God Almighty. It can be restored through the new birth no other way. And by the way, I was listening to a preacher today, and every Sunday morning I tune him in because I know he's Church of Christ. God bless the Church of Christ. But you cannot be immersed in Christ through water. You cannot be baptized into Christ through water baptism. So what he says is good, but at the last minute, he distorts everything by saying the only way you can go to heaven is to be immersed in Christ through water baptism. That's a lie. Lying devil. They know they're lying to people. It's a religious spirit. But those that want to know the truth, God will make a way for you to find the truth, receive the truth, and walk in it, and you'll not be sucked into that nonsense. The only way to be in Christ is to be born again and spiritually baptized into His body, the church. That's the new birth. That's regeneration. That's sanctification. That's justification. That's adoption. All of it is wrapped up in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. But when I hear a preacher say, the good news is not the cross, nor even the resurrection, I tune them out. When I hear a preacher, by the way, he's dead, I think he stepped over the line. When I hear a preacher say, the good news is the message of the kingdom of God, not the crucifixion or the resurrection, I go, whoa. Because you see, it's a partial truth. Jesus preached the kingdom of God. Sure, he said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what he said. The kingdom of God has come nigh you. That's what he said. But there's only one way to get into the kingdom. You must be born again. Now, the kingdom is a very important subject, but the cross and resurrection is the heart of the gospel. If we throw that out, you can't even be saved. So what religion does is tear it all out, just get water baptized, join the church, come to church 3 times a week, say your prayers, eat your vitamins, and you'll be all right. Don't worry about what Sister Sal says or Brother Mooney. Don't worry about that. Just be sure you get baptized. What I can't figure out, as a Southern Baptist, if you move to another church, they want to transfer membership to that church. Nonsense. If you're born again, you're in the church. It's universal, not a denomination. But yet, if they want to join another church, then they got to get baptized again. Baptized into the church. That's nonsense. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. That's not water baptism. Now, I'm not knocking water baptism. The Lord has commanded His believers to do it. But it's in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not Jesus only. See, all these things we have to deal with. But you understand what I'm saying, don't you? A speaking spirit speaks and doesn't hold His peace. It's up to you to accept or reject. I'm just a messenger boy. As long as God puts His breath in this dirt, I will speak, thus saith the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. So, St. John chapter 1 and verse 12. Very familiar scripture here today. Hallelujah. What are you upset about? We must be stern when it comes to demons trying to water the Word of God down. You understand that, don't you? I'm not preaching at anybody. I'm just preaching truth, and it's up to you to accept or reject it, you fish, you birds, turkeys. But as many as have received Him, how many has received Jesus as Savior and Lord? Amen. Have you confessed Him to somebody? A sinner? It's easy to confess Christ in church. Go out there to the ungodly piece of dirt that's spiritually dead and tell them about Jesus and how to be restored to spiritual standing in God. Can you do that? What do you say? You get around to the cross. The cross is where Jesus atoned for us. Spirit, soul, and body. I explain it this way. Your spirit is born again. You are at one in God. You are in the Spirit. If you understand, you are a spirit. You know, this is a better teaching what amens I'm getting. I said if the Holy Spirit lives in your human spirit, then you're in the Spirit. You're already restored to fellowship to God. You can go to the throne of grace anytime with your petitions and ask God and believe Him to answer your prayers. He'll not say no to one of His children. Dear Lord, He never says no. He might say, wait a little bit. And your soul is being saved. I talked to a lady on Facebook, and she's supposed to be married to a theologian. Well, nonsense. She said, Brother Andy, we believers are not saved from anything. Idiot. Don't even know what they're saved from. Don't people know that you're saved from the penalty of sin, which is hell? Don't believers know that we're saved from the coming judgment of God, the great tribulation, because people have rejected Christ for days without number? Don't we know we're saved from that? She didn't even know she's saved from herself. A button there called block. Bye-bye. I don't have time for it anymore. If people support that nonsense with their tithes and offerings, you're all crazy for doing that. You reap what you sow. You sow into bad ground, you're going to get a bad harvest. Dear God, let me be nice. This speaking spirit's speaking right now. Huh? Where'd you come from? I don't know where it come from. Your body came from the dirt. Your new birth come from God. If you're born again, you're born from above. God gave you a recreated spirit. Not made over, not a makeover, not some lipstick stuff, no. A new spirit. A new heart. A new destiny. A new purpose. He gave them power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on His name. Look at this now. Who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of the dirt, not of the will of the dirt man, but of God. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Come on, give me a big amen. Amen. If you're born from God, thank God you're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, that no weapon that's formed against you is ever going to prosper. We're the head, not the tail. But you've got to understand who you are in Christ and let the Holy Spirit come into your human spirit that's been recreated in the image of God and restored to fellowship with the Father God and walk in newness of life and take dominion and control until the devil has shut his mouth. And if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. Because God's not going to do it. The Lord told us, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Glory to God. What was that translation I gave a few weeks ago from Rwanda? They wrote it on the wall, and I read it. I looked at it. Whatever you allow, I think this is it. Whatever you allow on earth will be allowed in heaven.
Yeah.
Whatever you do not allow on earth will not be allowed in heaven.
Woo!
I mean, why? God give us the authority. Why?
Amen.
Because we came from God. Born from above, not beneath like the earth suit. Born from above. I know we all came from Adam. I know that's the flesh part, the dirt part. But those who are in Christ are of God. Praise God. The last scripture this morning is 1 Peter 1:23. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The apostle writes, being born again. How many has been born from above? That's what it means, that you're God's child. You're not a child of the devil. You're not a sinner anymore. You're a Christian. Christian. Christ in you. A Christian. Because you, by faith, have received the new birth. I'm still beginning to understand after 40 years what happened to me when I received the new birth. It's ever unfolding, ever expanding. It's like the Word of God. It just gets bigger and bigger. It's like eating a steak, and you chew on it a while, and it starts getting bigger. Take half of it out and lay on your plate. Not really. The Word of God gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Being born again. Not of corruptible seed. I'll tell you what. Stand to your feet and read it with me. Come on. Get enthused about this thing, child of God. You're not a child of the devil. Amen. You're born again. Your name's in the book. You're going to heaven. You're a spirit. You're never going to die. Praise God. Read it with me. Being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If God's living Word abides forever, guess what? We will too. You know why? Because Christ is in us, the hope of glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. Heaven is waiting on us to make the decisions for the kingdom of God. We have the authority. Notice when Jesus left, he gave authority to his servants, his disciples, the first church, the apostles, the prophets, and on down through time. He went back to heaven and said, now I want you to do it in my name. You go for me. I want you to speak for me. I want you to cast out devils in my name. I want you to lay hands on sick in my place. I want you to let the Holy Spirit work through you and build the church. Glory to God. It'll be a glorious church without a spot or a wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Why? Because we are spirit beings and we have the authority. Give the Lord a shout, somebody. Hallelujah. We have the authority. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now I must ask the question today. How many want your spirit man to come alive? How many want your spirit man to come alive? Glory to God. He's already alive. He's got to rise up and take authority. Praise God to walk with you. God will walk with you. He'll talk with you. He'll sup with you. He came in to stay. How many want your spirit man to come alive today and walk with Jesus a while? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You want that spirit man to come alive today? You're already alive, but it's got to be activated again. This is the Lord's day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. You want that spirit man to come alive and that anointing of the Holy Ghost to come upon you because you're a spirit being? It will quicken your mortal body, but more importantly, your spirit man will take authority. Your spirit man to come alive. Glory to God. It's time. It's time.
Please visit us online at zwmi.com. Once again, that's zwmi.com. Or visit us on Facebook at Zion Word Ministries International.